Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A fresh perspective. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That, of course, is Mike Tagliere, and it's you. And we're talking all things fantasy football today. We got a fantastic show for you today, as we always do. And not only is our guest fantastic, but it's nice because our guest has come and done all the work, because Tags has been complaining that he sounds like a broken record, and I agree. I am so sick of Tags' opinions about all these different things, about the same guys all the time. So I want to bring in somebody else today, get their opinions, and then we can let Tags do his little chime in about those things. But Tags, how are you doing, my friend? And do you feel good about not being the record that's broken today, as you like to put it?
I mean, I'm talking to you, so I can't be doing that good. But in reality, you know, something that I did not think would upset me today did, but it's hearing about the whole Britney Spears thing, like her dad. And like, I don't know how a grown woman doesn't have control of her life in terms of the decisions she makes in business. And it's just really sad, because she is around my age, because basically when I was going through high school, that was like the big, you know, her and Christina Aguilera. But knowing like where I'm at in my life and where she's at in her life and all she's done, to know that she doesn't have the freedom to do some of the things she wants to do is just, it's ridiculous. It is.
And look, I'm just glad that you made it out of the Mickey Mouse Club. Okay.
I did.
I know it was really tough for some kids. They like after that, it was just downhill, but you landed on your feet, which is terrific. And I'm very proud of you. And it takes a lot. By the way, I have just breaking news, signed a conservatorship with Tags. So I am now in control of his future, the decisions he makes going forward, because he just told me enough's enough. He just doesn't want to be in control of his own decisions.
I didn't have the Britney Spears chat on my Fantasy Pros bingo card today.
Well, and that voice is our guest today, which is the one, the only fantasy football personality. You know him from Prime Video. You know him from DirecTV. He's also a 4-time Emmy Award winner, which is pretty impressive stuff. And he's rocking an awesome X-Men shirt today, which I'm a big fan of. He's the one, the only, James Coe. James, welcome to the program today, my friend. And if you didn't have the Britney Spears conversation on the bingo card, I can give you another one if you want to change it out, because we got some fun topics here ahead of us.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, listen, it's great to be on. And quite frankly, what the hell took so long for me to get on this amazing show? I love you guys' show, man.
Yeah, I you know what? Good point. What the hell did take so long? But you responded as soon as I asked you, and you said, yeah, so
absolutely.
You know what? You're here now. That's all that matters. Here's a question for you. I only have one Emmy. Tags only has two. When you have four, does that carry any weight at the house? Like when you, no. Like... No, nothing, right? It's like, James, go take out the garbage.
Absolutely zero. Yeah. No weight whatsoever. Exactly. It's like you said, man. It's like, that's great. Now take out the garbage. It's like, all right, now that's great. Go change the diapers. You know, it's all of that. Yeah. None of that matters.
All right, Tag. So just so you know, there's other people who don't get respect, and he's got Emmys. Forget blue check marks. That guy's got Emmys, and you can see him right behind him.
It's funny. No, it's funny because James came on, and before we started recording, I'm like, James, you're a bigwig. Pull some of your shots, man. Get me verified. He goes, absolutely not. So there's nothing I can do here.
Nope.
And it was absolutely not that he's not a big deal. Not absolutely not. He wouldn't help you. Just so everybody knows, James is a lovely guy. He wants to help everybody. He's just saying, he doesn't have nearly the cachet that you might think he does.
I do
but
not.
You know what?
It's okay.
We're all here to talk football anyway. And before we do, I want to remind everybody, we got an amazing new jersey giveaway because it's July now, which means Stephon Diggs jersey is over. It's done. It's time for the autographed CMC jersey. That's right. Christian McCaffrey jersey can be yours. All you need is, of course, to go to fantasypros.com/contest. You drop a screenshot of the review from Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and you fill that out. And if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, that subscription grants you not one, not two, not three. Oh, yeah, three. Three extra entries into that contest. Again, just for subscribing to the YouTube channel, and all you got to do is click that notifications button. And of course, as we are hitting draft season, don't forget about our cheat sheet creator. Tags and I just had an amazing meeting this week where they broke down all the cool stuff that's going on with the Draft Wizard. So if you go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard, the tools that they've developed here, they've taken it to another level. It's unbelievable. Tags and I were super excited. We're huge nerds for this stuff. We know you are too. There's going to be 150 million mock drafts run on the Draft Wizard this year. 150 plus million. That's incredible. The tool that allows you to combine all of the rankings from all the different experts is the Cheat Sheet Creator, which is one of those tools. Basically, you take all your favorite experts and you put them into one consensus sheet. You can even create customized rankings for your league using projections and import your own rankings. And you can add tiers to those rankings as well in both the Draft Simulator and the Draft Assistant tool, which are just, again, off the charts. There's some really cool stuff going on there. And if you subscribe to the upper levels here at Fantasy Pros, even more incredible tools. But don't forget about that cheat sheet creator being one of them at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. So that being said, housekeeping out of the way, James Coe is here to talk about his overrated and his underrated players. So let's talk about that. And let's start with your running backs, James. Who is your overvalued running back and why in 2021?
Let me just start off by saying, listen, if you or Tags thinks I'm nuts for the picks that I make, let me know. Because I have been known to get a little wild with some of these calls. But man, I'll start off with, you know, what are we talking? Overvalued or undervalued?
Let's do overvalued first. And you know what? Tags is really, he's not one to give his opinion, so I'll try to drag it out of him as much as I can.
Right, exactly. Overvalued for me, there's a number, but I'll say Zeke in the top six right now. I just don't understand, I guess, the ADP, you know. Can I just say, quite frankly, I don't understand the ADP of any of these running backs in the top eight other than CMC. I think CMC's a stud. Like, when he plays, he's getting you 30, right? All these other guys have, like, massive question marks. And for me, Zeke is right at the top of the list. Career low efficiency last year, 4.0 yards per carry. Lowest carries per game. Lowest rush yards per game. By a lot, by the way. A 23% reduction in rush yards per game going from 2019 to 2020. Lowest receiving yards per game. The receiving yard has been relatively consistent, but, you know, again, if we're talking about lowest of his career, that's what it was in 2020. So, look, Tony Pollard still lurks as well. I don't really understand a top six valuation for Ezekiel Elliott.
When you say every running back, do you mean just the order of them or just running backs in general? Like, you feel good about CMC and the rest you're just not happy about, or you just don't like the order of the ADP?
No. Any of them. Dalvin Cook, I'm not feeling great about. Alvin Kamara's got all these question marks with no Drew Brees. Derrick Henry's got like a million touches over the last 2 years. Saquon Barkley, whether you like it or not, he's injury prone. Nick Chubb, again, competition for touches. Jonathan Taylor, I just thought last year Jonathan Taylor was good, not great. And again, the thing with Jonathan Taylor is, yeah, young ascending player, and we love that in a running back. But my God, he had his best games against bad teams last year. Against good teams, he was meh. You know, so I thought he really crushed bad teams, especially late last year, particularly the Texans and the Jaguars. Again, those guys in the top eight, they just have big time question marks for me. And I just don't feel comfortable with the ADP other than CMC, you know, when we're talking about those guys.
So does that mean that you prefer to then go with a wide receiver in the first round? Is that how you're building your teams? Like the Diggs, exactly, and Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. So even if you have a top five pick, you're willing to go that high in the wide receiver.
100%. Other than 1.1, which again, Christian McCaffrey, when he steps on the field, just because of his receiving work, the dude's getting you 20 plus points every single week. It's insane, right? Mm-hmm. But other than that, give me Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, Nuke Hopkins, Terry McLaurin. I'll take all of those guys in the top 10 ahead of those running backs.
All right. All right. So now Zeke, I've been trying to debunk this notion that he is safe anymore because of the age, because of the mileage, because of some of the deeper stats. And Tags, you've had a lot of good deep stats on Ezekiel Elliott. In fact, in the last show, you just kind of shared some of them. But do you think at six, he is overvalued there? And what James is saying, that by the time you get six, seven picks into a draft, it might be safer, quote unquote, if you think Zeke is safe, to instead pivot to one of the wide receivers instead.
No, I mean, if you're picking in the top five, I think you have to go running back, just because basically what happens is if you pass in a running back there, you're going to wait until the back half of the second round to get your first one. And that's always a tricky proposition because the draft can go running back heavy, and a lot of them are. So you don't want to be staring at someone like DeAndre Swift as your RB1. That's never a good situation to put yourself in. Now, if you get to, you know, the second half of the first round, it's like, okay, if I want to take Kelsey, if I want to take Tyreek Hill there, that's fine, because then on the way back around, you'll be able to get like a Joe Mixon or a Najee Harris. I'm okay with that. So it just depends on where in the first round you're at. But there are question marks about a lot of these players. Ezekiel Elliott is one of those players that I don't have as many questions about. He's been durable throughout his career. Last year was actually one of the first years where he dealt with injuries. He tried playing through them, ended up taking a week off. But if you go back to last year, I think I talked about this in the last show, but I think it's an important point to drive home, is that Ezekiel Elliott's never been elite with the opportunity he's been given. Ezekiel Elliott scored 47 fewer fantasy points last year than his opportunity dictated. And what I mean by that is where his carries took place on the field, where his targets took place in the field, all those things, wherever they're at on the field, it has an expected fantasy outcome. He was the worst running back in the league. Frank Gore scored 35 fewer points. He was the second worst. We're talking about 47. So it wasn't even close, but it forced me to go back and look at previous years with Ezekiel Elliott and say, has he always just underperformed his opportunity? Because we know he's gotten a lot of it. And really, he hasn't been great. In 2017, he was number 14 in the stat, which is good. Number 53 in 2018, number 23 in 2019, and now number 164. Part of that has to do with their offensive line breaking down, being down to one healthy offensive lineman at the end of the year. Part of it has to do with the fact that his quarterback was out for the year. They're saying that he's working hard this offseason. They have a tremendous wide receiver group. Ezekiel Elliott's no longer the guy that teams are fearing. When they're game planning against the Cowboys, it's more about how do we slow down these receivers? How do we stop Amari Cooper? How do we slow down CeeDee Lamb in the slot? And I think this is going to open up some lanes for Zeke. I think Tony Pollard is kind of like a Chase Edmonds type running back to me, where if you were to give him Zeke's workload, he would not live up to the expectations that people are placing on him. But I think he's a fantastic change of pace back. Does that mean they're going to dial back Ezekiel Elliott's touches? Maybe a little bit, but based on his opportunity last year, he should have finished as the number three running back. So even if you dial it back a little bit, Ezekiel Elliott is very, very safe in fantasy drafts. I don't think that he's going to finish as the RB1. Is it in the range of outcomes? Yes. But I think he's very safe. You know, I think he's safer than someone like Saquon Barkley, who's going to get those touches if he's healthy, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. His team doesn't score a lot of fantasy points. His offensive line is trash. You know, so there's a lot of question marks around a lot of players in that range. And I love how James talked about, you know, Jonathan Taylor.
I knew that. I could tell your ears perked up as soon as you thought Jonathan Taylor wasn't all that, because God knows that's what you've been on for the last few weeks.
Well, right. It's just, I don't know how people are forgetting that they were dropping Jonathan Taylor midseason last year. And then all of a sudden it's like, if you go into...
Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that you expect me to remember something that happened last fall? That is a lot to ask. Last fall?
Yeah.
How could I possibly have to write this down?
It's tough. I know. But recency bias with him, Jonathan Taylor's a good football player. I was higher on him than the consensus last year. I said, draft him in the third round. You're going to reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. And it really didn't happen until the end of the year, which James said, the competition was terrible. And people are using that as a reason not to draft David Montgomery. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing.
Better
offensive line in Indianapolis, sure. You know, better offense overall, sure. But again, that doesn't mean that he's a bona fide middle of the first round pick, which is where he's going right now.
All right, before we move on to the underrated running back here on James' list, I want to tell you guys about Pristine Auction. Once again, Pristine Auction running that jersey giveaway we're doing, but you don't have to wait for a giveaway. You can go today and join PristineAuction.com for free. All you have to do is use that promo code FANTASYPROS. You get a $5 credit on us just for signing up when you register in that registration field and just put in the words FANTASYPROS, one word, all right there. And everything there is authentic. You get that certification of authenticity. There's things that are affordable. It's not just out of your price range necessarily. They've got amazing stuff there too, not just for sports, but also for music. They've got memorabilia. They've got Marvel memorabilia. They've got all kinds of cool things for your walls, for your mantles, for your gifts, for your friends, for yourself. So go to pristineauction.com and sign up today. Again, that's PRISTINE. auction.com. So James, if that was your overrated guy, who is your underrated right now so far in 2021 that you think might be sneaky good that other people aren't paying attention to?
For me, it's Daryl Henderson. Although I will also give love to Najee Harris, who again, Tags is right. You know, if you're passing on running back in the first six picks, first seven, eight picks, you have to have a game plan. You absolutely have to have a game plan. And for me, when I'm taking a look at late round running backs, Daryl Henderson screams out to me like, okay, this guy's got standalone value and then just unbelievable upside should an injury occur ahead of him, right? So we know Cam Akers, we talk about overvalued guys. I think Cam Akers in the top 15 is massively overrated. Look, I think Cam Akers is a good player. I just don't trust the workload. I think Sean McVay has made it very clear that they want to run a split back backfield. And as a matter of fact, you know, they had three running backs last year that really got work. Well, okay, so now Malcolm Brown is gone. It's funny to me how Malcolm Brown being gone helps Cam Akers, but it doesn't also help Daryl Henderson. So I'm confused by this. Daryl Henderson right now is going outside the top 130 on Fantasy Football Calculator. And to me, that is just outrageous. 4.5 yards per carry last year. Again, Malcolm Brown gone opens up a little bit more volume for him. In the 10 games that Cam Akers got more than 10 offensive snaps, okay, Akers averaged 14 carries per game. Henderson and Brown combined for about 11.2 carries per game, right? So when I am looking at total touches for Cam Akers, I think 10 to 15 each and every game is reasonable, if not a floor for Henderson. So, I don't know, for me, I just feel like he has standalone value at that price. It's an absolute home run bargain pick. And again, I just go back to the fact that I think Sean McVay, who got burned by running Todd Gurley into the ground, is going to be smarter with Cam Akers. And he's let it be known. He wants to be smarter at the running back position. And I think they're going to try to run a little bit more of a committee. Expect a full-on 1-2 punch between Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson.
The expert consensus ranking on Daryl Henderson is 47 on the RB board. So ECR 47, certainly James makes a really good case for upside value for touches, even with Cam Akers being healthy and around. And we're always looking for upside late with running backs, guys that if the workload should present itself, that they might be able to handle that. And Henderson has shown at moments that he could do that when those moments have arrived. Do you agree, Tags, that Henderson is a guy that's undervalued right now in drafts?
Absolutely. I have him at RB 38 right now. You can make the case to put him up
around RB. That's a big difference between the ECR, just to point out. 47 to 38, very big difference there.
You usually don't see that big of a difference at running back. But part of it has to do with the fact that I have Cam Akers, I think, at RB 13. So I'm a little bit lower on him than the consensus. And it comes down to what James talked about. People are dismissing the fact that they drafted Daryl Henderson. The same exact regime drafted Daryl Henderson in the second round. They also drafted Cam Akers in the second round. Both of these guys are second round picks. They talked about it. Gurley was run into the ground and you saw it happen right in front of you. Before last season, Sean McVay talked about, I want to model my run game after Kyle Shanahan. He does a great job with it. And he showed that throughout the year. Now here's something that nobody wants to admit. That's a Cam Akers truther. If you were to look through it last year, Cam Akers had two more touches than Daryl Henderson on the season. Daryl Henderson had 35 more total yards and three more total touchdowns. And you, It's a worthless exercise to compare different running backs, different style running backs, third down backs and all that. But Daryl Henderson, when he got the majority of his touches, was in the starter role. Cam Akers, when he got the majority of his touches, was in the starter role. And he made a name for himself against the Patriots, who didn't show up on Thursday Night Football in that game. Joe, you're a Patriots fan. You watched that game.
That was the coming out party of Cam Akers, where I was blown away because I saw in that one game everything I wanted to see out of a running back. So to me, Cam Akers showed that he's capable of doing that, but just because you're capable doesn't mean you're going to be allowed. I think that is where I potentially struggle with Cam Akers, is whether or not he's going to be allowed to do that more frequently, not whether or not he can. I think he already answered the can question.
Well, part of the reason I think McVay ended up going to Akers towards the end of the season is because Daryl Henderson got banged up. Malcolm Brown was never going to be a workhorse running back. We all knew that. He was just a guy that was chipping in. But Akers almost carried the load because he had no workload on him all season. He was fresh. He was ready to go. It's not like you're holding up over an entire now 17-game season and saying, hey, we're going to trust you the way we trusted Todd Gurley. I think it's a mistake to put him in that conversation. Now, is it in the realm of possibilities? Sure. Worst case scenario, you have one of the best handcuffs in the game in Daryl Henderson, because there's nobody else in the depth chart who's going to even compete for those starter touches. So I love Daryl Henderson as an RB4 in fantasy football that you could probably plug him in during bye weeks. But again, you have an elite handcuff, and it might just be more of a timeshare than people are willing to admit.
All right, so far seems like we're on the same page, but I have a feeling like things are going to get messy quick on this next one. Overvalued wide receiver for you, James Coe, who is it?
Devontae Smith, you know, top 75-ish value right now on Fantasy Football Calculator, and I'm just really torn on him because, look, I think he was an amazing separator at the collegiate level. You know, when you're one of three wide receivers to win the Heisman, you're doing something right, right? Mm-hmm. And he has done the work, clearly. But golly, man, he just has such a wide range of outcomes. First of all, let's just talk about his situation. Philadelphia's offense, not that great. Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to have great fantasy value, but with his legs, right? I don't know if what Jalen Hurts does meshes well with what Devontae Smith does, which is timing-based routes, you know, great route running, those type of things. Like, I get it. The separation is there, but you need to build rapport. That is a lot of what he does is based off of timing. Does Jalen Hurts have that? I don't know. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying I don't know.
That is fair. But do you put any stock into the fact that, you know, they do speak the same Alabama language, and they, you know, there's that possibility of saying, okay, well, what are the things you do well? And what do I do well? What does the old ball coach say that we do well together, that we can come back together on that? And I understand he left on bad terms there, but at the same point, do you put anything to that where maybe these guys speak the same language a little bit and can get on the same page quicker, perhaps?
I mean, that's the other question, right? Like, what kind of offense are they going to run in Philadelphia? There's just so many variables. And the one thing for me, and I am a total sucker for this, and I fully admit, right? Like, I fully admit that I am a sucker for, like, height, size, speed, those type of, you know, those metrics. I am. It is fair to say, over the last 20 years, we have never, ever seen a player like this succeed. A guy who is 6 feet, 165 pounds, did not test at the pro day, but it's reported that he doesn't have special speed, right? So we're talking high 4.4s, maybe low 4.5s. And by the way, the fact that he did not test at his pro day is a clear indication to me, and we could say it's a conspiracy theory or whatever, I think he knew he wasn't going to test well. And I think he knew that was going to hurt his draft stock. If he goes out and runs a 4.49 at 6 feet, 165 pounds, his draft value goes way down. And I think he knew that. I think he knew that, and that's why he did not run. Bottom line is, he doesn't have special speed. And we've never seen a guy this small. As a matter of fact, I looked this up on relative athletic score. Over the last 20 years, up to 6'1", up to 175 pounds, taken in the first three rounds. There has never been a player like this in their database, right? Like Hollywood Brown, when we're talking about smaller guys, they can fly. Hollywood Brown had a 4.33 40. D-Jax had a 4.35 40. Marvin Harrison has 180 pounds. He didn't even show up in that search because he's 180 pounds, right? So 165, 6 feet, maybe runs in the 4.4s. I don't know, man. I just feel like we haven't seen it before. He'd have to break the mold.
You know what? I mean, right now he is wide receiver 40 in the ECR. James has just dropped a lot of good reasoning here to be concerned. Now, the question is, are you concerned with him as a wide receiver four? Because that's basically the value he's going at, Tags. And, you know, we've had this conversation about him quite a bit. We love what we see on the field, and sometimes we both think sometimes that on the field doesn't get taken into enough, and you can take all the combines and all the testing and throw them out the window because there's guys who test great that can't play football. He feels like a football player to me, and I'll tell you what, I think he's a better redraft investment than he is a long-term dynasty investment, because what James is saying is true. I don't know, even if he does play well right away, which I think he might, what's that going to be long-term? That is a real question. How is he going to hold up? So what are your thoughts on DeVonta Smith coming in right now at wide receiver 40 on our ECR and Fantasy Pros tags?
Well, the issue with historic comps with someone like DeVonta Smith right now is that the game has changed so much. And it benefits quarterbacks. It benefits wide receivers, especially the smaller ones. And I remember a similar argument that people were making with me when Calvin Ridley came out. For those who have been following the show for a long time, I've been high on Calvin Ridley before the combine. After the combine, I had to defend him. And they're saying, well, Stephon Diggs, you can't compare him because there's only one Stephon Diggs. Now, all of a sudden, Calvin Ridley's being drafted as a top five wide receiver. Stephon Diggs was underrated for a long time because he wasn't getting the volume that it was required in order for him to produce at elite level. And now we see that with Josh Allen, and it's like, okay, these smaller guys can do it. Now, DeVonta Smith is smaller than both of those guys, so it's going to require even a little bit more. But again, with the way the game is trending, you just need some volume, right? I mean, Marquise Brown is a different creature. I don't want to compare Marquise Brown because he was never the go-to receiver that you could rely on that you're going to throw the ball to 10 times per game. DeVonta Smith projects as that he's supposed to be the alpha, and it's really tough to do that at 6 foot, 165 pounds. However, going to Jalen Hurts and looking at this Philadelphia pass attack, and you look at the names that are around, and you're kind of like, he's the number one guy. He has to be. And if they miss on this, they're going to do it finding out because they're targeting him. They're going to find out Jalen Hurts, if he wants to succeed, who's he going to throw the ball to? Jalen Reagor didn't have a particularly good rookie season. Wasn't a great separator. And I know James does work with Matt Harmon, who did some work on Jalen Reagor, and it showed up that he wasn't very good last year. DeVonta Smith played against the best competition you could ask for at Alabama. You know, he wasn't playing, you know, it's almost like Zach Wilson. We talked about projecting him at the next level. He didn't play the best competition.
Right.
DeVonta Smith was playing against guys that knew it was coming, that were going to the NFL, and they still couldn't stop it. He just continued to dominate. And it's not like Mac Jones, we're looking at him like he's Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, hey, your quarterback made you. DeVonta Smith did it when everybody knew it was coming. And it was just, even with Jalen Waddle dinged up, it's like, hey, this is their go-to guy. We have to stop him, and they can't stop him. So it's more about today's NFL, and it's almost like shaking off to say, we can't even look at old record books. We can't look at quarterback rating and compare it generation over generation, because it's just the game has changed so much. And I think that benefits someone like DeVonta Smith. And then I was looking at ADP and where he's going. The players that I agree with James, there's some questions, and you have to do some projecting here. But if you look at the names that are going around him, I think he's undervalued, because Curtis Samuel, he's going back to Scott Turner, guys. Scott Turner didn't know how to use Curtis Samuel back in 2019. You look at Jarvis Landry. He's not going to win you a fantasy championship. He finished outside the top 30 wide receivers last year, and that was with Odell Beckham out of the lineup. You look at DeVante Parker. Don't draft him. I swear to God, don't draft DeVante Parker this year. Marquise Brown, Cole Beasley. Like, these are the players that are around.
Well, none of these guys have number one receiver on their team upside.
There's a scenario that if Jalen Hurts takes a step forward as a passer, that this could, I don't want to say it's a Justin Jefferson type year, because 1400 yards is ridiculous. It's ridiculous for a veteran receiver, let alone a rookie. But I'm talking about a path like a Brandon Ayuk was towards the end of last year, where it's a receiver that can hit a 1,000-yard threshold, maybe not score 10 touchdowns because he's not that guy, but I like DeVonta Smith where you're getting him, especially drafting him as a back end wide receiver three. I don't think is the worst plan, but also having an alternative in place.
Now, I agree with James' hesitancy about the Eagles offense, but I'm going to agree with you about the opportunity for DeVonta, because I do think Smith has that opportunity to, at least from that pack of those guys you can draft around there as wide receiver fours, kind of break away and be better than those guys. And I think that's what you're looking for, that return on investment. Do I want to invest him as a wide receiver three? That is a question that I think is a fair one, but I don't think I do. I think there's just so many quality guys in wide receiver position this year that I don't think you have to do that. But as a four, he's intriguing, especially if you're lacking a little, let's be honest. Sometimes you're going through a draft and you're looking, you're like, wow, these guys are kind of boring. I might need a little bit more upside, and maybe Smith becomes that guy. You take a shot on him as a four.
Here's a question I have for both of you guys.
Yeah.
There's a wide receiver going at number 27 among wide receivers, and one going at 41. DeVonta Smith's the number 41. Number 27 is Chase Claypool. That's quite a large gap. I would rather have DeVonta Smith than Chase Claypool, because I don't trust Claypool with Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't disagree with that. And I'll tell you what, in an auction, I think you're going to get Smith way cheaper. What do you think about that, James?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, given the prices, it's, you know, but I think what we've seen from Claypool in terms of just being a fabulous touchdown scorer, you know, big body wide receiver, you know, look, the bottom line for me is the roles that these guys are going to play, right? For me, I think DeVonta Smith, he played outside at Alabama, but I think he profiles better as an inside receiver. Claypool is your prototypical big bodied athletic X receiver. Give me that guy. And so I will take that guy.
Even though it's crowded, James, even though it's a crowded grouping.
I mean, is it though? For me, it's
from a volume standpoint, Deontay Johnson was certainly targeted quite a bit last year.
Deontay Johnson is their stud. He is their number one dude. And for me, Claypool's their number two. I think Juju, you know, fits into that, but this is a team that's going to throw the ball a lot, right? So they led the league in passes thrown last year. So I think there's plenty of meat on that bone. And for me, even though there's three good wide receivers, I'm not that worried about it because I think for me, Claypool is their number two. So, yeah. By the way, you mentioned reception perception. Jalen Reagor versus man coverage actually graded out through reception perception as literally the worst of 50 receivers charted.
That's not great.
So yes, you would be correct. A 41% success rate versus man. That was the worst of 50 charted wide receivers. So yes, to Tags's point, Rager's probably not the answer.
That's a very, very politically kind way of putting it. Well done. He's probably not going to be a guy that you like necessarily.
Can I just say this about Rager? And all these metrics that we always throw out, it is really difficult to measure guys' like emotional state. And let's be real, Philadelphia was an absolute freaking train wreck last year.
And he wasn't healthy.
And how motivated are these guys? You know, like with Carson Wentz throwing, you know, wormholes out there, it's like, he's all over the map, Carson Wentz, right? So it's like, how motivated are you to really break off routes? Like, what are we proving here? The whole aura around Philadelphia was so negative. I'm not building that into Rager's value. I'm just saying when you see guys perform well on a year-to-year basis or they perform poorly on a year to, sometimes there's more than just football going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just think with Fulgham, Rager, and now DeVonta Smith, it's not a great wide receiver room, but you know, again, there will be. It's not the worst either. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's why we like Hurts. I'm not sure about the pass catchers.
All right. Fair enough. Before we get to your undervalued wide receiver, let's tell you about IP Vanish, one of the sponsors of our podcast today. IP Vanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short, and it's a VPN, which means it's a super important tool that helps you browse the internet safely. You can use VPNs on your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted, which means that reading what you're searching for, what you're watching, everything, whatever you're doing is your business and yours alone. And that's important because what you're doing on the internet is your business. So for listeners of the show, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off. Again, that's just $3.49 for the first month and $31.49 for the year. Everything you get with IP Vanish, anonymous IP address, circumvent any online censorship, get protection when using public Wi-Fi, and of course, 24/7 tech support. So go to ipvanish.com/pros. Again, that's 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $349 a month or $31.49 for the entire year. This is the time to sign up. And with our discount here at the current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off the usual offering. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 stars. So go to ipvanish.com once again and get the deal to start protecting yourself online. So let's go to the next man on the list. And I just want to give James a lot of credit. We asked him, we said, bring some fresh names, bring some fresh life, and he's bringing it today. And this is a player that I think Tags and I both love, but I would love to talk about him more. And I am very happy about Terry McLaurin. So give me wide receiver 12 ECR Terry McLaurin as undervalued, James.
Yeah, you're thinking, okay, well, he's already going in the top 35. Like, how is this man undervalued? It's because I have him as a wide receiver 7. I'm so bullish on him. The fact that he is going, you know, late third round is just criminal to me. Like, I will take this guy at the end of round 1. Like, at the turn, I'll take him there. At the top of round 2, I'll take him there. Again, going back to reception perception, he was in the 97th percentile versus man, 90th versus press. This man is a stone cold baller. I do not understand how he's going outside the top 30. For me, he's in the same, you look at where he's going right now, it's in the same range as Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Julio Jones, just ahead of Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, etc. But for me, I have him as my wide receiver 7. You know, it's like, for me, it's just Tyreek, Devontae, Stephon Diggs, Nuke, Ridley, DK, and then it's McLaurin. And honestly, Ridley, DK, McLaurin, those are names you could just kind of sort of mix in a pot for me. Like, maybe 1 week I'll feel like he's my wide receiver 5. Maybe I feel like he's my wide receiver 7. But those three names to me are the names that you can kind of just sort of shuffle up and deal. He's an awesome player. And now that they have added Ryan Fitzpatrick to the mix, expect him to lock in and lock on to F1, and I just think sky's the limit for him. He honestly, in terms of when we're talking about upside, he really does have the upside to be the top wide receiver in the game in fantasy in 2021.
All right, Tags, I know you and I love McLaurin. We're very excited to see what we could do with a real quarterback, which he really has not had. Is he kind of the best kept secret, even though he is, as James so astutely pointed out, still a wide receiver 1 consensus? I mean, everyone still thinks this guy is that good. The question is he closer to that elite tier than maybe we realize?
I have him in the tier with Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, and those guys, because I feel like that's where I'm at. The only thing that I worry about with him is his touchdown upside, because this Washington offense, I don't know if it's going to be a very high scoring offense. And typically, in order to get into that upper threshold, if you want to get into that elite, you know, those top 5, top 6 wide receivers, you're going to have to score almost double digit touchdowns or rack up, you know, 1400 plus yards, which is possible. I mean, McLaurin, I'm not even going to argue with James in this one, because I want to like McLaurin more than I do, because he is a fantastic wide receiver. Ryan Fitzpatrick has promoted and gave us fantasy wide receivers. If you go back to his time with the Jets, I mean, Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall were basically receiver ones almost every single week, and it was fantastic. Right. Decker was scoring a lot of touchdowns, but Decker's kind of done that throughout his career. We haven't quite seen it with McLaurin yet, because he's not that go up and get it type wide receiver. He is a route running savant. Fitzpatrick is willing to throw it up to wide receivers when they're covered, as long as he trusts them. And that's why I like Devontae Parker when he was with Ryan Fitzpatrick and not so much with Tua Tagovailoa. So Terry McLaurin is going to benefit from Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's more about they did add some talent here. They added Curtis Samuel, who's clearly they overpaid, and they're going to try and make work in Scott Turner's offense again. You know, Logan Thomas came on over the second half of last year. They keep talking up, we're going to use Antonio Gibson more. They still have J.D. McKissick. They drafted De'Ami Brown in the third round. Antonio Gandy-Golden, Calvin Harmon's coming back. So there's just like a whole lot of names here. Terry McLaurin's the alpha. Like, he's getting the alpha targets, but my concern is that he doesn't get enough targets to get into that conversation of elites just because he doesn't score enough touchdowns. But again, I'm not going to argue. He's a fantastic wide receiver, and he's with a quarterback who's willing to target his wide receivers constantly.
All right, let's move on to the quarterback position. And I got to warn you about this pick here, James, because I'm pretty sure when you talk about him, if you say anything negative, he's basically going to use it against you.
I know.
He's going to be watching it every day and every workout. So go ahead. I dare you. I dare you to say that Tom Brady is overvalued.
Tom Brady, quarterback 9. It's like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, he's going in the top 75. Like, this happens all the time, you know? Like, you get name brand guys, and name brand guys go higher. And I get it. You know, Tom Brady, there is no bigger name in the game than Tom Brady. The guy's on the cover of Madden at the age of like 75. Like, it's amazing. but like, my God, like, in the top 75, like, no, stop it. Like, just, I'm just saying, like, if you want Tom Brady, that's fine, but can we wait? Can we wait, like, I don't know, like 50 freaking picks? Like, what is he going in the top 75? Yeah. Like, there's, from a statistical fantasy perspective, there's really not that much difference between Tom Brady and like the next 5 or 6 guys right on the list. Like, just wait. like 50 picks, you know, like, so again, Tom's fine. Like, you know, obviously he had a great season last year. He's got these wide receivers. He's got, you know, he's got Gronk. He's got all these weapons that he can throw to, and he's doing a great job doing that. The one thing I loved about Tom Brady too is like all of a sudden it's like, you know, the guy gets into a different offense, a Bruce Arians no risk it, no biscuit, and he's just throwing up prayer balls to Mike Evans. I love it. I absolutely love it, you know? So yeah, like all of a sudden the guy goes from like, you know, air yards per, you know, per pass attempt. He's like one of the worst in the league to all of a sudden like the best in the league. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he's able to transform his game even at this advanced age. But from a fantasy perspective, guys, like top 75 is just bonkers to me. Like, no, like there's so many other players in that range that you could go with. And again, you're getting almost exact same production, you know, like 50 picks later. So, so nothing against Tom. I'm not going to say anything, you know, negative. It's just all about fantasy value and where you're getting them. And I just don't understand where he's going.
I feel like we're going to jump cut to Tom Brady sitting in his house by the fireplace in a chair, watching an iPad of James Coe saying all this and then looking up and saying, I took that personally. And then he's going to go out there for 5,000 yards. But you're absolutely right. And this is why, you know, the work I do with relative position value, just basically it quantifies exactly what you're saying, which is there's no advantage with Brady as a QB1. And statistically speaking, in terms of percentage productivity, he is much closer to Stafford, Cousins, all those other pocket passer quarterbacks. He just happened to have a transcendent, wonderful year last year. But even with that great year as a pocket passer in this new NFL, Tags, I know you're the king of always pointing this out, that caps you still. You are still capped at somewhere around, what, QB7 or 8. Even if you do that again or throw for 4,600 yards and 42 touchdowns, you're still going to be somewhere around QB, I don't know, 7. And that is, I think, exactly the point that James is making. And probably one that you and I both agree with as well.
If you're drafting Tom Brady as a QB 8 or 9, you're drafting him at a ceiling. That's what you're doing. And you're not leaving any room for error. And I say that because last year, Tom Brady threw for 4,600 yards, 4,633 actually.
Right.
He threw 40 touchdowns. He ran for 3 touchdowns. It doesn't get much better than that. Okay. But Tom Brady, despite that, finished as the QB 8 last year. That's a ceiling. That's basically what we're talking about. I mean, you could add another couple hundred yards. It's fine. It's not going to change anything. So when you're drafting, the idea in a draft is to gain, to try and have some sort of equity where you're drafting a player. Jalen Hurts is not as safe as Tom Brady. He's not, but I would draft Jalen Hurts over Tom Brady because I know there's potential equity in drafting him there. But it's almost, James, the argument you made saying, Tom, appreciate him. And if I'm doing projections, Tom Brady's probably going to finish as 8 or 9 in my projections. Why? Because he's relatively safe. But this is not projecting any sort of drop off in his career. He is getting up there in age. It's going to happen at some point when I'm going to stop trying to project it. But you have to build that into where you're taking him. It's the same argument I'm using against Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is a great football player. Like, he's a great football player in college. If you're drafting him as tight end 4, you are drafting him at his ceiling, and he needs to break out in order to justify that. So should Pitts go as the 5th tight end? Maybe, but it's all about where you actually have to take him in the drafts. If you have to take Tom Brady in the top 75 picks, that's a real problem. If you take Kyle Pitts in the 3rd or 4th round, that's a real problem. So it's just going back to position value. And so I'm in line with you here. Even if Brady's going to finish in between the QB 8 and QB 12, you do not draft players at their ceiling.
All right. And the next player on the list here, as far as undervalue when it comes to quarterbacks, is one that we love. I can tell you right now. And it's one that we think does not get enough love, does not get enough attention. And I'm glad, James, that you're bringing him up because he's got a new toy to work with, too, who's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Tags may or may not have a crush on that guy. But give me the QB who is undervalued here. Right now, ECR QB 11. But you can see the wide range of outcomes. Some people have him at 14. Yeah. Some people have him at 15. And some people might even have him higher than 11. Right now, ECR, that's where he is. He's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I would probably have him, you know, slightly higher. Look, this is a guy that, again, you know, adds 3,800, you know, passing yards. He had 40 total touchdowns, 250-ish yards on the ground. So, you know, he's given you more than 4,000 yards and, again, some rushing upside there as well. I mean, I guess you could say, oh, maybe it's an outlier year for him because, you know, he had career highs across the board. But then at the same time, you got to realize it was the first time, and it sounds weird to say this because he's been in the league for so long. But really, this is the first time in 2020 that he got the starting gig from the jump. Like, from day one, he's your starter. It was, you know, Marcus Mariota for many years. And then, you know, he's transitioning from wide receiver to quarterback in Miami and those type of things. Like, so it's really the first time that we saw Ryan Tannehill, again, just from the word go, get starter reps. So, like, I get it. Like, when that happens and you post career highs, well, that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So I think you add Julio Jones into the mix as well. And to me, I just feel like, all right, great. Like, he's off and running. Like, this is a guy that, you know, is going to give you a pretty safe floor each and every week. And then every now and again is going to pop off for three or four touchdowns. Like, yeah, like, that's the guy that you want at quarterback. And again, he's going outside of the top 100. To me, I think that's perfect. That's exactly what you want from your fantasy quarterback.
And Tags, I think we'd agree that the Titans defense is not exactly a world beater either.
Exactly.
Is there another gear for Ryan Tannehill, maybe even this year with Julio Jones, that we didn't even realize existed? I mean, right now the floor is pretty good.
There doesn't need to be. No, Joe, there doesn't need to be another gear.
But I want it now.
If I were guaranteed the same production that we've gotten from Ryan Tannehill since he took over as a starter from the Titans, I would be drafting him as a top five quarterback this year. So I don't even.
Well, isn't he closer to Russell Wilson than he is the other guys he's being drafted as?
Check this out, Joe. He took over in week seven. He took over.
Check this out, yeah.
He took over in week seven of 2019. That's a 26 game span. Since that time, the only quarterbacks who have scored more fantasy points than him were Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. That's right. Despite ranking 16th in pass attempts during that time, he has more fantasy points than Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, you name it. Ryan Tannehill has been elite. I don't know why people are just like now realizing this. And it's like, now you add Julio Jones to the mix. Sure, you lose Arthur Smith, but is it possible? Is it possible that Ryan Tannehill, since taking over that job, has posted two of the best quarterback ratings of all time? Is it possible that Adam Gase may have held him back early in his career, like he has every other player that's played under him? It's possible.
I will answer that question, and I will answer it definitively with yes. Yes, he did hold him back.
There you go. So, I mean, losing Arthur Smith creates some questions. Adding Julio Jones makes up for that for me. So it's like Ryan Tannehill, I have him as QB7 in my rankings. I can move him up higher than that if I wanted to, but I think that's a good place for him.
All right, we're going to hit the tight end. Oh, okay, James, go ahead.
No, it's just in terms of other quarterbacks in that range, like, I just don't understand. Like, why are we putting Jalen Hurts ahead of Ryan Tannehill? Like,
that's a good question.
Oh, I'm with you on that one, James. I'm 100% with
you. I just don't understand. Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm just confused.
It's people falling in love with the upside of the Russian quarterback, but not realizing the downside of all these components coming together with a new OC, a new playbook, a new head coach, new pieces, new offensive line, all have to come together and gel from week one for Jalen Hurts, and he has to then play well. All of which have to all come to fruition for him to return your high-end ADP value. Whereas Tannehill, you've already seen it, you already know it, and there's a possibility you're looking at a version, even though Tags is saying, like, it doesn't have to get better. It could. It's possible. It could. I mean, Julio Jones is a big upgrade over Corey Davis, boys and girls. Like, I don't want to, spoiler alert, but you know, I just want to put that out there. So there's something possibly very special here. And then when you couple in the fact that it's a defense that's going to, let's say, keep the offense busy, I mean, there's no reason why you can't get excited about that. So, yeah, I think we're all 3-for-3 on that one.
And he still gives you a rushing floor. Yep. You know, it's like, that's what I don't get. Like, what are we talking about here? Like,
and was he have 11 rushing touchdowns in the last
year? Air Tannehill, baby.
I don't know. It's just crazy to me. I guess I'm just confused by it. Like, what is it that people feel like, oh, they're just going to give Derrick Henry the ball 700 times, so there's just the efficiency is going to go down at some point? Like, Is the efficiency the outlier?
You know, I James, honestly, I think it's the other thing. I think it's maybe 40% that, but 60% for me, it's trying to shake off Tannehill as a disappointment from the Dolphins days. And I just think it's so funny that we carry with us negativity from guys in bad spots who disappoint us or are underwhelming. And I don't know how much they have to do. And yet you turn around and people are still trying to live off Josh Gordon's one great year for a decade. And I don't understand how there's this like deficit in people's brains when it comes to that. Do you think that's it, Tags?
I don't know. I honestly can't explain it. It's no longer a small sample size. It's not. So.
No.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm very confused by it.
All right. Now, if you wish that your league was more active and competitive, then maybe – you know, you feel like your draft is also too predictable and there just isn't enough strategy going on, then you'll want to check out LeagueTycoon.com today. LeagueTycoon.com is a site that's built specifically for contract salary cap leagues, and a lot of people want to upgrade their redraft league to a contract salary dynasty, but they're overwhelmed by the amount of work to set up and run those leagues. However, not here. When you create a contract league at LeagueTycoon.com, everything is built in and automated for your league. No more spreadsheets. And with no experience, you can have a contract league up and running in just minutes using their optimized default settings. Best of all, League Tycoon makes it easy for new players to understand and manage their team by providing a top-of-the-line mobile app and website. So head over to LeagueTycoon.com to get started. Trust me, your league and your league mates will thank you. Once again, that's LeagueTycoon.com. Let's wrap things up here with your tight ends. Let's do them together here. Your overvalued, your undervalued tight ends, and your reasoning why, Mr. Coe.
Well, it's really hard because, like, you know, when you talk about, like, you know, these tight ends, like, so many of them are just going late, right? So, you know, there's kind of like these tight ends that I kind of look in the middle rounds that just, like, I'm always like, yep, red flag, red flag. Any tight end that goes, you know, in the single digit rounds, I'm like, yep, not taking that guy, not taking that guy. And it's because, you know, unless we're talking about, like, the big three, right? Unless we're talking about Kelce, Kittle, or Darren Waller. But Hunter Henry is a tight end 9 going the top, you know, 90-ish picks.
Ugh.
I just
shouldn't be drafted.
What?
Shouldn't be drafted.
Shouldn't be drafted. No. Wait, yeah, like, I don't even see that. That is absurd to me. I when I saw you sent me that this morning, I mean, he is tight end 16 over on the ECR and Fantasy Pro. So I don't know where 9 shows up, but that seems absurd to me, James.
I mean, Jonnu Smith is there. And again, when you look at ECR, I think that's probably baking all that in. So it's like, I just don't really understand Hunter Henry at tight end 9 or just going anywhere in the top 100 picks. Like, if you just kind of sort of like look around in that range, it's like, there's a lot of really interesting players in that range, you know, like give me Will Fuller or like Jerry Jeudy or AJ Dillon or Brandon Cooks or whatever. Like, there's just so many interesting like upside players. Whereas Hunter Henry, it's like, you know, you're not getting upside. Like, what? Like, nope. Stop it. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. And in terms of your undervalued guy, you've got Jared Cook, who is right now ECR tight end 21. So he's in 5 spots later than Hunter Henry.
Yeah. And look, I get it. He's an older player, you know, but he's caught 9 and 7 touchdowns the last 2 years. I think he can still play. Like, he can still move a little bit. I think. For me, I think 700 and like 5 to 7 touchdowns is doable. Will he get there? I don't know. But you're getting him for free. He's going outside the top 150 picks. So who really cares? If it doesn't hit, it's all good. You just kind of sort of mix and match like you're going to do anyways. But if you wanted a tight end, again, with the Chargers, you know, they trade away Hunter Henry, they signed Jared Cook, which I thought was just, man, what a smart move it was by the Chargers to do that. And again, we're talking about a guy that is what, like tight end 20 or whatever. Like, he was a top 12 tight end last year. Yeah, you know what I mean? So for me, I just feel like, you know, again, not a whole lot of, I mean, unless you think Donald Parham is going to like compete for touches there in the tight, like, no, it's probably not going to happen. You know, like, I get it. There's probably not a ton of meat left on the bone after Keenan Allen, Mike Williams and Austin Eckler. But again, tight end 20 outside the top 150. Give me Jared Cook.
All right. Obviously, Tags, you and I agree on the don't draft Hunter Henry. We're clear on that. But what about Jared Cook? Because, you know, we're starting up, you know, there's a lot of 2 tight end leagues that exist now, the tight end premiums. I mean, we've seen Mike Williams miss significant time a lot. Is there a world where Jared Cook can become potentially useful in fantasy if indeed a scenario like that plays out, or even if it doesn't?
I feel like he's a streamer. I don't think you're ever going to be like, hey, Jared Cook's going to be a breakout top 5 candidate. I think he's a streamer. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was actually writing something earlier today, and I basically figured it out where it's like, unless you can guarantee you have a tight end who's going to see 5 or 6 targets a game or more, they're a streamer to me. Like, I view them all in the same bucket. So therefore, why are you going to spend a 9th round pick on the tight end 10? You know what I mean? Like, you might as well just try and take 2 breakout candidates, like an Adam Trautman, a Blake Jarwin, a Gerald Everett. Right. Some of those guys you could just throw darts on, because if you take them in the last couple of rounds, what it's going to do is it allows you to move on very quickly. If you invest a 9th or 10th round pick, like some people were investing in Austin Hooper last year, and I said, don't do that. Because basically you weren't going to be able to guarantee those targets every single week. And then basically, because they invested so much draft capital in a player like that, they wanted to hold on to be like, oh, it's a new offense. It might just take a little bit of time. And then it's almost like you need to throw that out the window. You need to say, it's either I have a tight end who's going to get those targets or I'm not. And you need to know when when to cut the cord. And unfortunately with tight ends, there's just there's a handful of them that are going to get that.
And you're using draft capital instead of building up your wide receiver and running back depth. You're using it on a tight end who frankly has a ceiling capped already before he even goes. And some of these other guys we're talking about a lot of these later tight ends. And I think it's starting to make me realize that we might be in a fun little tight end renaissance, because if a few of these guys hit, maybe tight end isn't the wasteland we thought it was. And that's going to make for a very interesting 2022 season. But we still got 2021 ahead of us. And of course, in the meantime, this year, our guest is going to have all kinds of great content for you. You can always follow him over on the Twitter machine at James D. Co. James, I know you got your YouTube channel up there too. Yeah. What else you got going on these days, my friend?
Well, I mean, that's the big one, man. Like, you know, I'm just trying to pump up my YouTube channel. Like, you could find me over there too, youtube.com/JamesDco. And yeah, it's just like, you know, there's content up there. It's, you know, I put up two shows each and every week. I've got a show I'm doing with Adam Rank. It's just talking about football, no fantasy. I mean, we can talk fantasy, obviously, but we don't. We just talk about just normal football stuff. And then again, I'm doing a show, a best ball, you know, live draft show each and every week too. So yeah, man, we're just having fun with it. So it's been a good time, and there's going to be a lot more skits and stuff getting put up there as the regular season rolls on too. So if you like a little bit of humor with your fantasy, you know, if you would give me a try, I would appreciate it. So there you go.
I love the Bob Ross, the Happy Little Trees, big fan.
Thank you, man.
So good. In the meantime, you could also make sure you check out our jersey giveaway. Again, that's CMC jersey, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. And sign up today at pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Use that code FANTASYPROS, $5 on us. And like I said, go to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved in that giveaway for the CMC jersey. Check out the Draft Wizard, fantasypros.com, the cheat sheet creator. You're going to want this. You can have tags with you basically right there for your entire draft, for all your mocks. It's brilliant. I'm telling you, the stuff we're rolling out this year is unbelievable. I'm not kidding you, man. We sat in a meeting, Tags and I, and we were blown away. I'm so excited to talk about the features on Draft Wizard all this season coming up. And I want to thank the other sponsors of today's show as well. League Tycoon, head to leaguetycoon.com. Get your contract salary cap league. Get going already. And of course, IPVanish.com as well. Go to IPVanish.com/pros to get 65% off savings today. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For James Coe and Mike Tagliere, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.